Rav Ben Shraga Yitzchak. Got it. Hashem Hashem Aliyah. Okay, so the Mishnah is on the bottom of Pei Hei Omid Beis.
Hey, Yaakov, that's where you ended off?
Okay, thank you very much for doing that. And we're going to discuss that which goes up on the Mizbeach and goes up on the Mizbeach inappropriately, and what we end up doing with it. Ve'ilim olu yer do the following things. If they go up on the Mizbeach, we actually pull them down. As Rashi says, v'afal pi d'ksherim, even though these are kosher items, it's not from a pasal karban, d'lo shayach b'hu Mizbeach klal. These are things that don't belong on a Mizbeach, and therefore if they go up, they must come down. And the Mishnah says, Bisar kadshe kadshim, meat from the kadshe kadshim, meat meaning that was supposed to be consumed, like you have a chatas and a kohenim were supposed to eat parts of it, ended up on the Mizbeach, pull it off. Ubisar kadshim kalim, as well as from low-level karbanos, i.e. yishlamim, umosar ha-omer, the remnants of the omer, after you took the parts out of the omer that were supposed to be there, the rest of it was supposed to be eaten. So if that ended up on the Mizbeach, Ushtei HaLechem, the two loaves from Shavuos that are supposed to be consumed at Kohanim, V'lechem HaPanim from Shabbos, Ushiyari Menachos, the remnants of Menachos, after you put your Kometz up on the Mizbeach, the rest of it is supposed to be consumed by the Kohanim. If that ended up on the Mizbeach, V'Ktores, as well as the Ktores also is not supposed to be up there, and we're talking about specifically it went on the wrong Mizbeach. Rashi says, V'Ktores Sha'olsa Mizbeach HaChitzo, and it went up on the external Mizbeach, D'Halav Royu, because that's inappropriate. It doesn't belong on there, and that's our issue. So you have to pull it down. Okay, those items come off. Now we have a new thought. Hatzemer shebarashay kvasim. The sereshab is a kind of tiyashim. The first list was of items that don't belong on mizbeach because they belong elsewhere. Now we have items which don't belong anywhere. Items which are not themselves even that important. They're subsidiary items. You have hair that's on the heads of the sheep. The sereshab is kind of tiyashim. The hair from the goats. We list the wool of the sheep and the hair of the goats separately always, just because they're a different type of material. Vatsamos, as well as the bones, vagidim, and the sinews, vakarnayim, as well as the horns, vatslafayim, as well as the hooves, bismanche mechubarim, if they're connected to the body of the animal, the body of the animal is going up on the mizbeach, yalu, so then they go up along with it. You don't have any requirement to remove them. This is point A, and then Shneamar gives you the pasuk, viktira kohenes hakol, hamizbecha. It says the Kohen will put them all on the mizbeach. However, Pirshu, I'm following the addition that we have in our Mishnah, Pirshu, once they are already separate, lo yalu, then you don't put them on the Mizbeach. Even if I have an Ola, if I have hooves from an Ola that were separated from the Ola, it doesn't go on the Mizbeach Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, V'yasisa olo secha ha-basar ve-adam. You'll do your Ola, specifically you'll do the basar and the dam, the flesh and the blood. That's what's supposed to go onto the Mizbeach, not, say, the hooves. That's the idea. So two parts to the Mishnah. Number one, things that are supposed to be put elsewhere that ended up on the Mizbeach, pull them down. And number two, inedibles. That are not the main part of the carbon, which if they're attached, they go up. If they're not attached, then they should not be up there at all. Okay. The Gemara moves us into the discussion of how we know that the bones and the like would be included if they were attached. We wouldn't separate them. Tanu Rabbanon, Viktira Kohenes HaKol HaMizbeach. The Kohen puts the whole thing up on the Mizbeach. The Pasuk says, L'Rabos HaTzamos V'Agidim V'Karnayim HaTzlafayim. It includes those items we mentioned, the bones, sinews, horns, and hooves. Yochal HaFilu Pirshu. I might think even if they were separated, you would still put them up. Tamal Lomar V'Asiyisa HaSecha HaBasa V'Adam. Just like we said in the Mishnah, we quoted the same Pasuk. Last couple of words on Pei Hei Omid Beis. E Basa V'Adam. If you're talking about the flesh and the blood only, then Yochal Yachlots Gidim V'Atzamos V'Yala Basa L'Gam. Maybe I'd be obligated to actually remove them. As Rashi says on the top of the page, mitzvah mutelas olav. There would actually be a mitzvah of kohen. You have to remove these parts of the carbon. No, tamalomar v'yiktira kohenes hakol. The pasuk says the kohen brings them all. Haketzad, how does that work? You're telling me on the one hand, don't remove them. On the other hand, you're telling me all goes up. they are saying, you're saying they don't belong, but all goes up. Mechubarin yalu, if they're attached, they go up. And pirshu, but if they separate, afilin bereshem mizbeach yirdu, even if they're on the top of the mizbeach, they have to come down. End of brisa. So the Gemara now asks, manatana deshamet le da'amar pirshu yirdu. Who is the author who says that if they separated, then you actually would not put them up? Not only would you not put them up, but you actually remove them. Rebbe. So he says that's actually Rebbe's view against the Tanakhama in the following brisa. This Sanya, here's the brisa. The Torah says, "V'iktira kohen es hakol hamizbecha," that the kohen puts the entire thing on the mizbeach. So, the Tanakhama says the whole thing goes up, even if the horns and hooves separated. Nonetheless, it's part of an ola. It goes on the mizbeach. Then why did the Torah specify only the basar and dam? It's a different lesson. The lesson that it's trying to teach me is that if parts of the carbon ola, meaning the flesh and the blood, actually were already broken down on the mizbeach, they had already deteriorated, and then they separated, you put them back up. And on the other hand, if you they fell off the mizbeach, you put them back up. But on the other hand, if it's from the bones, it's from the sinews and the horns and hooves, then if it was already digested, so to speak, by the fire on the mizbeach, and then it fell off the mizbeach, you would not put it back up. So in other words, the Tanakhama agrees, we distinguish between basar and dam and these other parts of the karban. But it's not in terms of the question of whether they go up initially, it's in terms of whether you would put them back up once they had already been burned on the mizbeach. That's the Tanakhama. Rebbe Omer, Kasevechad Omer V'Yiktirah Kohenes HaKol HaMizbeach Riba. Rebbe says, no, that's not what you do. What you do instead is, you say, the Pasuk says, you put the whole thing on the mizbeach. That's a Riba. We're expanding it, saying everything goes. V'Kasevechad Omer V'Yisal Osecha Basav Adam. And the other one says, no, only the flesh and the blood. Miyet, that's an exclusion. HaKetzad, how do I satisfy both? Mechubar and Yalu, Perishu Afil and Bersh HaMizbeach Yeridu. If they're attached, they go up. If they separate, then even if on top of the mizbeach, you pull them down. There's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos about whose view our Mishnah follows. Rashi says that our Mishnah follows Rebbe, and the Re, quoted in Tosfos, says no, that because our Mishnah says lo yalu, that they don't go up, these other things, that indicates that if they go up, then we don't bring them down, which is like the Tanakhama, that they would go up initially, but they just wouldn't come back down. If it weren't, we didn't have to end for the Rosh Chodesh Minyan, I'd go into that more, but that's Tosis' note on this. Okay. We then say in the Mishnah, Pershu lo yalu, or Pershu yerdu is really what it should say, according to the note of Shlomo Kluger in the margin, regarding these bones and the like that separated from the carbon before the carbon was put on the Mizbeach. So, Amar Rabbi Zera says, lo shanu elisha pirshu klape mata. He says something that is perplexing. He says, we're talking about specifically where they separate klape mata. Rashi says, derech yerida, in the manner of descent, umizrachki min amaracha, meaning that physically, they were distanced from the Maracha, the place on top of the Mizbeach. That's where we say that you would remove them. Avo klape mala, however, if they separated towards the Maracha, Rashi says, Litzada Maracha, Ein zu precious, I'm reading in Rashi, Ela kreva etele equal shalish. That's not the definition of Pershu. Pershu doesn't mean it's separated from the rest of the carbon. Pershu means it's separated from the fire on the Mizbeach. And if it gets closer to the fire on the Mizbeach, that's not what we mean when we use the word Pershu. It's closer to being digested by the fire, and therefore the Gemara says, Karuve huda kreva equal, they've drawn closer to being broken down by the fire, and you would not pull them down, and in fact, they'd be okay going up. So Rabbi Zera says we've had the wrong meaning of the word pirshu. Pirshu doesn't mean separating from the carbon, pirshu means separating from the yesh. That's Rabbi Zera. To which the Gemara says, what? Vafilu pirshu. Even if they are separated, if you take a look at Rashi, he says, Nira be'ina shachaser min hagirsa. It appears we're missing something here. But he doesn't like what we have in our edition, but he says, L'may degaris, according to what we have in our edition, hachi perusho. This is what it should say. Vafilu pirshu bitmiya. Vamachu barin yalu hudakamar. We said explicitly in the Mishnah, Rabbi Zera can't disagree with our Mishnah, that distinguish not between closer to the fire and farther from the fire, but part of the carbon or not part of the carbon. The point of the Gemara's question, as Rashi understands it, is that you can't tell me it's about being Parish Min HaEish or not. It's about being part of the carbon or not. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba. Rabba says that's not what Rabbi Zera meant. Hachi Kamar. This is what Rabbi Zera was trying to say. Lo shanu ela shapirshu la'achar zrika. Aval pirshu kodem zrika. Asoi zrika. V'sharitenu afilu me'avad minayu kata desakini. Kata desakini. Rabba says what Rabbi Zera was saying was not pirshu. It was about pirshu min ha'eish. He says, you're right. Pirshu means pirshu min ha'karban. But the question is, at what stage, at what stage the bones actually separated, the hooves separated from the carbon. If they separate from the carbon after Zrika, after the sprinkling of the dam, that's when we say they come off of the Mizbeach. And the reason is because once you did the Zrikas Hadam and they were connected to the Mizbeach, now they are Kachim that became disqualified. As opposed to, if they separated from the carbon before you did the Zrika, then the Zrika came along and desanctified them. Their purpose is now over. If you want to use them to make a knife handle, that's just fine. As Rashi says on the Me'avad Kata de Sakini, he says, Kihechi de Sharia Basar Lagabe Mizbeach, just as the meat of the carbon, the Emurim, he means, becomes permitted from the Mizbeach to the Hachi Koi, because that's what it's for. Kasharia Nami Atzamos Lamai de Kaimi. So too, the bones now become permitted for whatever you're going to make of them. Whatever normal use is, v'hainu anas kohanim, that's the hanah that the kohanim get, k'rabbi Yishmael, which is coming up on the next two lines in the Gemara. So again, what he says is, it's about the chronological parashah. The question is, when do they separate? If they separate pre-Zrika, that's one thing. If they separate post-Zrika, that's another. If they separate pre-Zrika, then when the time you actually did the Zrika, they weren't up for the Mizbeach. They were up for whatever the normal use is, and then you can do whatever you want. You can make a knife handle out of it if you want. The Shita Mekubetz notes Rashi and Menachos based on a Gemara Pesachim that says it's not quite true. We have to distinguish between bones that have marrow in them and bones that don't. If it has marrow, now it's a part of the carbon again, because you have meat from the carbon. We're talking here about bones that don't have any marrow. Right. That will be an example. But we also mentioned Atzamos earlier. So that's what the Gemara says. Savar la, and the Gemara continues halfway down the page. Savar la, ki hada amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Yishmael. He is following what Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yishmael. Rashi already made reference to it. Ne'amar lo yehiya ba'ola. V'ne'amar lo yehiya ba'asham. The pasuk says by both the Ola and the Asham, it will go to him, the Kohen. So ma'asham atzmos of mutarin. Just like the carbon asham, we say the Kohen can have the bones. After all, the Kohen even gets the meat of the carbon. He gets to eat it, right? Certainly he gets the bones. Av ola tzamos mutarin. So too for the carbon ola, it's logical to say he gets to have the... not logical, we learn from the psukim that he gets to have the bones. So the Gemara says, well, that's a little bit of an odd gezerah shava. It must be mufni. You must have both of those sides must be available for use. Those must be extra words. Because the rule with Gzera Shava is, if you can challenge it logically, and the words are not fully available for our use, we drop the Gzera Shava. So he says, this one is a questionable Gzera Shava on logical grounds. It must be available. Why? De'i lo mufni, because if it weren't available, Iko lemifrach, you could ask. You could challenge the logic and say, Mala asham shekein besaro mutar. It's true the asham, the bones of the asham go to the kohen. Because the meat goes to the kohen, it's different from the ola. Lo yehyeh, you say, Raksiv. Therefore, we say, no, the lo yehyeh is actually superfluous, and therefore it's available for us to use for our gzerah shava. Masiv Ravada Barava, one last question. Ravada Barava asks here, he says, we learned atzmos kachim lefnei zrika mo'al in bahen. The bones from karbanos are subject to me'ila before you do the zrikas hadam. La'achar, and nesabeyedin adshah zrika till the time of zrika. La'achar zrika, after the zrikas hadam, ein mo'al in bahen. The law of me'ila does not apply to them anymore, although you're not allowed to use them. Vishal ola mo'al in bahen le'ola. And if it's a karban ola, then there is always me'ila. So that's my challenge. You're telling me over here that if they were parish before for Zrika, then they're now permitted. Now you're telling me Molim Bahan Le'olam is always subject to Me'ila. So he says, Ema Vishal Ola, Pirshul of Nezrika, Ein Molim Bahan La'ach Zrika, Molim Bahan Bahan Le'olam. No, that's no problem. You just have the wrong addition. What it should say is, in fact, this distinction of pre-Zrika and post-Zrika. Upliga de Rabbi Elazar. However, what we are saying disagrees with Rabbi Elazar. Dam Rabbi Elazar, Pirshul of Nezrika, Molim Bahan La'ach Zrika, Lo Ne'enim V'lo Molim. Rabbi Elazar says, if they separate pre-Zrika, then Me'ila does apply. After Zrika, Lo Ne'enim V'lo Molim. Rashi says, Mid de Rabbanan. Right? that you're not allowed to be nehenna. But what we're saying is me'ila no longer applies. So Rabbi Elazar disagrees with what we've been saying. We said that if they separate before Zerika, then just like the meat becomes permitted for one use, the bones become permitted for another use. Rabbi Elazar disagrees, and he says if they separate before Zerika, they're subject to me'ila. Zerika does not help them at all. That's the way he takes it. Tosas notes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says you can't use a shofar from a carbon ola. I should be able to, based on what we said here. So he comes up with all sorts of suggestions about different types of kedusha that it actually had. Maybe it was dedicated for the value of an ola. Maybe it separated before Zvika and you didn't do the Zvika yet, and now you want to blow the shofar. Tosas has all these suggestions. Okay. New Mishnah with three parts to it, three segments to this Mishnah. And by the way, you'll see on the sheets, I changed the style of doing the sheets because I think it makes it easier to use. The top part of it includes just the flow of the Gemara, and then the bottom part includes Psukim and other sources to look up. I think it may help legibility, but as always, I would appreciate feedback on that. Not before 6:30, though. Okay, Mishnah says, V'chulin shepaku me'agabe ha-mizbeach lo yachzir. We say that if things fall off of the Mizbeach, what things are we talking about? Take a look at Rashi. V'chulan hanach psulin sha'alu, the disqualified things, the things that don't belong on the Mizbeach. We don't really mean disqualified. He's not talking about pigul and nosar here. But the things that don't belong on the Mizbeach, but they went up. Disnanba and lo yerdu, Rashi says, regarding which we learned they don't come down. Beinat samos v'gidin sha'alan mechubar v'achaltan ha'esh. Let's say you're talking about the bane thing, the Shita Mekubetzes edits to make that read smoother. But the point is, these bones, these sinews that went on the Mizbeach, and they were exposed to the fire, and then they fell off, the rule is, lo yachzir. And we said, shepaku me'agabe ha-mizbeach, Rashi says, lo aretz, they fell to the ground, and Rashi says, very important, lo yachzir means, ain't tzarech lahachzir. It doesn't mean you can't put them back on. You have no mitzvah of putting them back on. We don't say, well, they were exposed to the fire, and therefore now they're part of the Mizbeach, and you have to put them back up. That we do not say. Okay, so that's the first part of the Mishnah. Second part, Evarim, the limbs of the carbon, Shepaku me'agabe ha-mizbeach, that fell off the Mizbeach, that were supposed to be there. So Kodem Chatzos, Yachzir Umol and Ben. If they fell off before Chatzos, then you have to put them up, and they're subject to Me'ila. La'achar Chatzos lo Yachzir. I'm sorry, V'chein Gachelas, thank you. V'chein Gachelas, Shepaka, I'm worried about 6:30. V'chein Gachelas, Shepaka, Me'agabe Mizbeach, Lo Yachzir. And so too, if a coal falls off the Mizbeach, you can't put it back up. So that's part one. Evarim Shepaka, Me'agabe Mizbeach, Kodem Chatzos, Yachzir. Parts of the carbon that belong on the Mizbeach, they fell off the Mizbeach before Chatzos, put them back. Umo'ol and Ben, they're subject to Me'ila. La'achar Chatzos, Lo Yachzir Ben Mo'ol and Bohem. Chatzos comes, they turn into a virtual pumpkin. And the rule is, you don't put them back up if they fall off, and they're no longer subject to Me'ila. And Rashi explains why. They are considered like their me'ukalin. They're considered as though they had been broken down by the fire. And it's a davar shenaseh mitzvah, so its mitzvah is now done. So the things that didn't belong, if they fall off, don't put them back. The things that do belong, if they fall off pre-chatzos, you put them back, and they're subject to me'ila, so be careful. Third, kishem shem mizbeach mekadesh v'lo mekadesh es ha'roilo, kacha kevesh mekadesh, just like the mizbeach sanctifies that which is suitable for it, so too the ramp does, if it's on the ramp, and kishem shem mizbeach v'kevesh mekadesh es ha'roilo, and kacha kelim mekadeshin, and so too, the kelim are mekadesh as well. That's the third part. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Hey Chidami, what are you talking about here? And it's referring to the second part of the Mishnah, this issue of the Evarim. Why is your threshold going to be Chatzos instead of being when they are digested? Idis behum mamash, if there's still meat on them, then I don't understand. Then even after Chatzos you should put them back up. They're supposed to go on the fire until they're burned up.
You have to return to the nearby.
Yeah, well, these are Evarim. Evarim are supposed to go all night. Evarim and Padarim, yeah. This is, the carbon's done. The only thing that has to be done before the carbon tamid is the Shechita, Zrika, that sort of thing. E, the lesba hu mamash, and the Zrika is its own question, but E, the lesba hu mamash, and if there is no meat left, then chatzos is irrelevant. It did its job. Why? Who imposed chatzos? This is low. It's Zrika b'shriri. His answer is, you know what we're talking about? We're talking about tough meat or muscle. And Rashi explains, they hardened because of the fire, bekulan v'nisrafu, that affected all of them, and they were burned. But they didn't become coals. They're just like dried out pieces of wood. So for that, we have an artificial time, an artificial deadline of chatzos. That's the idea. It's talking about the shriri. The yelad hashachar notes. We said back on Samach Aleph and Beis that the fire from that came from Shemayim burned everything right away. Remember, we talked about the different sizes of piles on the mizbech and all that. So he said maybe this is second Beis Hamikdash. Okay, so the Gemara says, where did we get this idea from that it depends upon Chatzos? So we're going to have two different approaches, Rav and Rav Yochanan. As Tosfos understands it, they're actually presenting different points of view. Omar Rav, if you take a look in the footnote, in footnote 5, I gave you the psukim from Parshas Tzav, it says, this is your Ola, Zostra Asa Ola, Hi Ha Ola Al Mokdal Mizbeach Kol HaLayla Ad HaBoker, that it sits there on the fire all night until morning. But then it continues to say the Kohen comes in to do Trumas Hadeshen, Verimis Hadeshen, and doesn't change the time frame. So it sounds like Kol HaLayla it's on the Mizbeach, and Kol HaLayla the Kohen removes the Deshen. So which is it? Is it on all night, or is it removed during the night? That's his. That's Rav's problem. So back in the Gemara, Rav says, third line, Chalkehu, split it, Chetzia Laktar, Chetzia Laharama. The first half of the night is for putting it on the Mizbeach, and the second half of the night is for Trumas Hadeshen, not in the sense that you actually do Trumas Hadeshen at that point, but even the things that haven't yet burned, these Shriri that we're talking about, you would remove. And Rashi says, but the regular meat you would put back on, because that's not called Deshen. Okay, that's Rav. Masiv Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana challenges him and says, but wait a minute. On Yom Tov, they did the Trumas Hadeshenim before Chatzos. So it isn't an even 50-50 split of the night. He says, B'chol Yom Tarmis HaMizbeach Mikros HaGever O Samach Lo Milfanav O Me'acharav, that usually you did it at the rooster's crow, right after or right before. B'Yom HaKippurim B'Chatzos. On Yom Kippur, you did it at the middle of the night. B'Ragalim, and on Yom Tov, B'Shmaras HaRishona. You did it in the first shift of the night, which you remember from Brachos, is the first third of the night, first quarter of the night. So you're doing it well before Chatzos rolls around. V'Yisak Kedaitach Me'Chatzos De'Araisa. If this is really a biblical thing based on the psukim that we mentioned, how would we be allowed to move it up? So Rabbi Yochanan says, I'll give you a different approach. And again, I'm reading it using Tosos' approach. Rabbi Yochanan, Mimashma Shenemar Kol Halayla, Eini Yodea Sha'ar HaBoker. It already says, do it all night. So doesn't that tell me automatically that it's until morning? The words Ad HaBoker are themselves superfluous in the pasuk to teach me, Kain Boker LeBokro Shel Layla. Okay, give a morning to the morning of the night, meaning that there's a time to do this early. There are times when you're supposed to actually do things earlier. Hilkach, therefore, kol yom mikros hagever esagi. Every day it's sufficient to do it from when the rooster crows. B'yom HaKippur, man yom kippur, mishum chulsha de kohen gadol mechatzos. Because the kohen gadol is tired, you do it from the middle of the night. Rashi says what that means is because he has to do all the avoda on yom kippur. That's Rashi. Tosis is not true. Kohen Gadol does not have to do the nighttime avoda. Technically, somebody else could do it. So Tosfos offers two other possibilities. Either the Rivat takes out the word Gadol, it's exhaustion from the Kohenim because they're going to be fasting. So therefore, we're saying do it in the middle of the night, but do it before he gets tired from the fast, and it's a regular Kohen. Alternatively, that's his point. Do it during the night so that the Kohen Gadol won't have to do it. Because if you would wait until morning, then the Kohen Gadol would need to do it, and he would get tired. That's another approach that Tosfos offers. But that's the Yom Kippur one. Beragalim on the regular on Yom Tov dinefishi karbanos, there are a lot of karbanos to kadmi asu Yisrael, because all the Yisraelim come in for Aliyah LeRegel and they bring all the karbanos that they owe. So then me'ashmaras harishona, you do it from the first shift of the night. So that's the idea. Kedeksani safe, as it says in the end there, lohaisa kriyas hagever magasa chaisa azar malei Yisrael miYisrael, that on Yom Tov by the time the rooster crowed the azar was full of Yisrael, and therefore you had a lot of Deshen up on the Mizbeach, and therefore you would do it from the beginning of the night. So Rabbi Yochanan's view is different from Rav's view. Rav said, split it based on the Pesukim, middle of the night, and Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Rabbi Yochanan says, it's actually just that you are permitted to do it early. Should we do another five wines? Is that a good idea? Or should we stop here because the Minyanim are starting? Alright, the Minyanim are starting, so we'll stop here.